Welcome to the next section of the program on manifesting. What we're going to focus on here is what I call the equation of manifesting, which has three parts. And when you're able to get all three parts correct, you'll be able to manifest incredible things in your life, including wealth, prosperity, success, and anything else you desire. In summary, the three parts to the equation of manifesting are number one, clear intent. Number two, proper subconscious programming. And number three, releasing attachment to result. The first two we're only going to touch on quickly because they're addressed in most standard law of attraction material and in the block clearing, which compromises a good portion of the rest of this program. So first, let's talk about clear intent. In order to manifest something in your life, you first need to have a clear intent of what it is you wish to experience. And so if you're able to know what you want and send out a powerful signal to the universe, this helps tremendously. And so one of the reasons why traditional law of attraction techniques like saying affirmations and saying mantras and writing down your goals and making vision boards and doing visualizations work is because they help you to achieve a better clear intent of what you'd like from the universe. And so basically, the more you focus on something, the more attention and energy you give to it, the more you're giving a signal of clear intent to the universe that you wish to have this in your life. Now, be aware that the universe has no judgment. It does not know the difference between positive focus and negative focus. And so therefore, whatever you're focusing on, whether it's because you want to have it or because you don't want to have it, you will attract it equally powerfully. That's such an important point, I'm going to reiterate it. The universe does not know the difference between positive focus and negative focus. And so whether you intensely desire something because it's good or are terribly afraid of it because it's bad, both of those things have a powerful emotional charge that will use the law of attraction to draw it to you in your life. You may have heard before the phrase, what you resist persists. This is very true and an important part of this equation of manifesting. And so the more you try to make sure something bad doesn't happen, the more likely it is that you're going to draw it into your life. Therefore, we want to get really comfortable with all the bad stuff so that we're not resisting it, we're not afraid of it. We're not giving it energy by trying to keep it from happening. Mother Teresa had a great saying which summarized this, which was, I'm never going to attend an anti-war rally, but let me know when you have a peace demonstration. This summarizes this so well because that which we fight against, such as being anti-war, we are empowering. In the same way, whatever you hate or are angry about, you are also empowering. And so if you hate the government or the president or a company, or the wars going on in the world, or the way people treat each other, the more anger and hatred and resentment that you have towards those behaviors, the more you're giving them power, and the more you're drawing them into your life. Because again, the universe does not know the difference between positive and negative focus. It only responds to the amount of energy and intention you put on something. And so you want to get as comfortable as possible with the bad stuff, and simply shift away your attention and focus and choose differently. This is what most law of attraction material will tell you, and it's true. But again, it's incomplete because it's only focusing on this one piece of the equation for manifesting. Another thing that happens is that most of us have overactive minds that are always thinking and always trying to figure things out. This results in us sending mixed signals to the universe, which neuters our ability to manifest. And so if you're like most people, and you're doing your law of attraction things, then when you're in a good place, when you're at a positive thinking seminar, when you're with your support group, when you're writing in your journal, when you're writing down your goals and dreams, or reading a self-improvement book, or listening to an audio program such as this, you're probably in a good positive frame of mind. And you're sending out a focus and an energy to the universe to tell it to draw to you the positive things you're focusing on. Wealth, prosperity, happiness, love, whatever that may be. But much of the time we spend in our day-to-day lives, our mind gets busy, we get into our heads, and we get immersed in the world around us. And so we're bombarded by negative thoughts and negative feelings. And so if you look at how much of your mental energy you actually spend focusing on the positive, if you sum up every moment of every day of your life versus how much mental energy you spend focusing on the negative, I think you might be surprised at what mixed signals you're sending. And it's definitely better to spend some time focusing on the positive than none at all. Why? Well, because positive thoughts fortunately have a higher vibration and are therefore more powerful than negative thoughts. And so you do have the ability to get away with a certain amount of negative thinking and still be able to create positive things in your life. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to keep 100% of your thoughts and energy and focus and intention positive every moment of every day and every night in order to draw good things to you, though it would help. But the more negative you are, especially in your day-to-day life, the more that's going to send out this mixed signal to the universe, and the more it's going to disempower your ability to draw in the good things. And so just start paying attention to where your energy and thoughts are. How often do you feel resentful, or jealous, or angry, or fearful? How many times do you focus on what's wrong in the world rather than what's right? Or even more importantly, focus on what's wrong in your life rather than what's right. You might be surprised at how much time you're going to spend dwelling in negativity. And the more you can get lined up with the positive thoughts, the more powerful your manifestations will be. And so we're not going to say too much more about this aspect of clear intent, because again, this is the aspect of the equation of manifesting and the piece that most traditional law of attraction material focuses on. And it's true that the more energy and focus and intention you put on what you'd like to have in your life, the more powerfully you will create it. Just be aware, though, that the more you're trying to resist and change things, the more you're going to draw in exactly the opposite. You're going to draw in what you're afraid of. And so too many people, when they think about what they'd like to change in their life, instead of focusing on the good things they'd like to draw in that are new and different, instead they focused almost entirely on the bad things in their life that they want to change. And so if someone asks you, what would you like to change about your job? And you say, well, I don't want to have to work so much. Really, that's the wrong focus, because by resisting the amount of work you need to do in the long hours, you're drawing energy into that. You're empowering that experience of you working long hours. Instead, you just want to turn that over and say, I choose to create the experience of having more leisure time, of more time to relax, more time to have fun, spend time with my family, my friends, to read books, to go to spiritual seminars, whatever that may be. And so be aware of that. It's very, very easy for us to look and say, well, we'd like to change our lives by looking at all these different things that are bad and changing them or making them different. You know, that's just going to keep you stuck. Because again, the more you're trying to change the things that are bad, the more energy you're putting into them. Instead, focus on what you would like to replace it with. Focus on the good things you would have instead. That will be much more powerful in bringing to you the things you really want to experience and give you a big head start on manifesting the life of your dreams. Now let's talk about the second section of the equation of manifesting, the subconscious programming. We're not going to say a whole lot about this here, because really, all the sections of this audio program where we go through and clear the blocks out of your subconscious mind are doing exactly that. We're going through and getting your subconscious ready, willing, and able to create the experiences you want. And so, like we talked about in the introduction to this program, we want to get 100% of your mind engaged to create the life of your dreams. Maybe 10 or 20% is your conscious mind. Whatever that number is, it is important to engage the conscious mind, and that's where the clear intent comes in, what we just talked about, and the usual law of attraction material. You want to have clear goals, I would recommend you write them down, and you want to focus on them. You want to put your energy and intention as much as possible onto that which you want to attract and create, to get that 10 to 20% of your conscious mind working for you. However, the other 80 or 90% of your mind, where most of your power and ability to manifest and heal resides, you need a special technique, something like theta healing, to go in and identify exactly what's in your subconscious that's drawing to you the negative experiences and change those belief systems, change those software codes in your subconscious mind and put in new codes, debugged codes, or freshly installed new subconscious software that will attract and create the life experiences you desire. And so the other sections of this program where we do the subconscious clearing will do exactly that for you. And so you'll find that it's very powerful, because when you rewrite the software of your soul, you're getting that 80 or 90% of your subconscious mind, that 80 or 90% of your power, to draw in the experiences you'd like to create in your life. And so the last piece of the equation of manifesting, which is releasing attachment to result, is the one that doesn't get a lot of attention or acknowledgement most of the time. And therefore, it's the one we're going to spend most of our time talking about here. And this is a subtle point, but it's incredibly important, which is the more you're attached to having a certain outcome, the less likely you are to get it. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. The more attached you are to needing to have a certain outcome, the less likely you are to get it. Why is this? Well, this is the law of attraction again, running at a deeper and more powerful level. Because the more you think you need to have something, the more resistance you will have towards not getting it. Or if it's a bad thing that you're trying to make not happen, if you're very attached to a bad thing not happening, you're going to be empowering it. Remember that that which you resist will persist. And so the more you can release your attachment to result, the more you can trust the universe, the more powerfully you will manifest and the more easily you will make changes in your life. And so we've heard about this concept in many different forms and many different arenas in the past. Those who have studied Buddhism have heard the saying that attachment to result is the root of all suffering. I would agree completely. I would also extend that to say that attachment to the result is the root of all failure in manifesting. Because again, the more attached you are to getting a certain result, the more you are going to be resisting and fighting against the other things that might happen. And therefore, the more you're going to be empowering them and drawing them into your life. It seems ironic, but the more you want something, the less likely you are to actually have it. Strange, huh? And so another way to put this is that the more okay you are with your life exactly as it is now, the easier it will be to change things. And the less afraid you are of the bad stuff, the more powerfully you'll be able to call in the good stuff. I'm going to tell you a little story that I think illustrates this principle really well. When I first got to college, which was in the Northeast, I had never ice skated before because I grew up in Southern California. But my girlfriend at the time had grown up in the Midwest, where ice skating was very popular during the winter. And so in November, when the ice rink opened on campus, she was really excited to go ice skating. And so I thought, what the heck? And so I got some ice skates and I went out and I was all jazzed to go out onto the rink and try skating. But that isn't what happened. Instead, she took me outside and said, Brent, you shouldn't go and try to skate until you learn how to fall. And I thought, well, this seems a little strange, but you know what? She knows more than me about this, so I'll just do what she asks. And so she took me outside and we found a block of ice and she had me practice falling down over and over again. I probably spent 20 or 30 minutes repeatedly falling down on this block of ice. My butt was getting cold, it was getting a little sore, it was dark out, and I was like, what's going on here? Why do I have to sit here and fall down over and over again on this block of ice? But after enough falls, she asked me, she goes, okay, are you afraid of falling down on the ice? And at that point, I said, you know what? I'm not. I had just practiced falling over and over and over again and found that if I just kind of bent my knees and just kind of relaxed into it, I could fall down on the block of ice without hurting myself. And so we went inside and I laced up my skates and I went out onto the ice. And an amazing thing happened. This was the first night that the rink was open for skating that winter. And the rink was full of people who were on their skates for the very first time, holding onto the side rail and standing rigid. Why? Because they were afraid of falling. Because I had been properly trained and I came in and went onto the ice rink without any fear of falling. I put on my skates, jumped onto the ice, and started zipping around and having a great time. Why was it so easy for me to ice skate? It was simple. I wasn't afraid of falling. Did I fall that night? I know that I did. I probably fell several times. But you know what? Because I had practiced it before, I knew how to fall down, and I knew that I could just fall down and get up and brush off the ice and keep going. And I had a great time. In fact, it only took me 5 or 10 minutes of skating before I was zipping around the ring doing crossover turns and having a great time. And all the while, just about everybody else who was on skates for their very first time was standing rigid, holding onto the side rail. Why? Because they were scared to death of falling. There's one other thing that we can look at that extends the story even further, another powerful aspect of this, which is if you look at people who were standing rigid, holding onto the side rail, what would happen if they fell? Well, they would probably get hurt. Why? Because when you're very stiff and rigid, if you fall down and hit the ice, you can cause injury. At the very least, it's going to hurt. And so it's interesting to note that the more afraid you are of falling, the less likely it is you'll be able to ice skate. And the more afraid you are of falling, the more you're going to hurt yourself if you do fall. Pretty amazing, huh? This is the law of attraction at work. This is exactly what I mean when I talk about we have to release our resistance to the bad things that might happen. We have to release that attachment to result. In terms of this story, if I was very attached to the result of skating, and I was really afraid of falling, then guess what happens? You become very rigid and stiff, and it's very difficult to skate, and you're more likely to fall, and if you do fall, you're going to hurt yourself. What we want to do in our lives is a direct parallel to this skating story. We want to learn how to fall. We want to make it okay to fail, to have bad things happen. In terms of our prosperity and our careers and our success with money, you want to make it okay to fail, to have no money, to even be homeless, to lose everything. Why? Because just like ice skating, the less afraid you are of those bad things, the less likely they are to happen. And if they do happen, they will be much less painful and you'll be able to recover very quickly. Pretty amazing, huh? So let's go a little deeper and look at what happens when we're attached to a particular result. When we think things need to be a certain way, for example, if you start a company and think, hey, I have to make at least this much money this month, or at least this much money next month, or these terrible things will happen, you have immediately become attached to a particular result. When that occurs, it creates fear and anger. It creates fear of the thing you don't want to have happening, and it creates anger if things aren't going your way. That fear and anger are very low vibrational emotions. They shut down the manifesting process. They shut down your ability to access that divine part of you, which reaches out and interfaces with the universe to bring to you the life of your dreams. And so the more you think you have to have something, the less likely it is to show up. Pretty incredible, huh? Let's also talk a little bit about wanting, which is a very similar kind of energy. It's interesting that some law of attraction material talks about wanting and desiring as being really good things. If we take a more advanced treatment of this, if we take this at a deeper level, what you'll find is that wanting and desiring are actually counterproductive to manifesting. Why? Because it creates attachment to result. The more you think you need to have something, the more you want it, the more it's going to shut down your ability to have it. Let's imagine a little story. Imagine that you have a hotline that goes straight to God, and you're granted one wish. And you can pick up this hotline and tell God whatever it is you want, and you're guaranteed it will just magically happen in your life. And you go, you know what? I'd like to have some more money. And so you pick up the hotline and you say, God, I want $1 million. And so, just as promised, hallelujah, it's a miracle, you want $1 million. What happens then? Well, guess what the one thing is you can't have if God is making sure you want $1 million? You got it, you can't have $1 million. Why is that? Because when you want something, when you're sending that energy of want and desire out to the universe, it reinforces and creates and manifests for you that experience of wanting. And as long as you're manifesting the experience of wanting something, you can't have it. And so when I work with my Theta Healing students, I always emphasize in the training seminars, be really careful of that word want. Anytime you send out to the universe, I want this, you're not actually drawing that thing to you. If you say, I want a cheeseburger, what that is manifesting and creating in that instant is the experience of wanting a cheeseburger, which of course, you can't have a cheeseburger as long as you're wanting it. Now, as with everything we're talking about here, you don't have to be perfect. Just because you get into want or desire does not mean you can't have something. It just means it'll interfere and get in the way. It's kind of like, you know, if you're driving in your car and you have the parking brake on a little bit, it doesn't mean necessarily that you can't go anywhere. Your car may not be stuck. But you know what? It is going to be slowing you down and it is going to be causing friction. And it may burn out the parking brake at a certain point. And so be very aware of how much you're wanting and desiring, because that want and desire is a reflection of this underlying attachment to result. And the more you want something, the less you're likely you are to have it. And the more you're afraid of not getting it, the more you're empowering and creating the experience of that which you're afraid of. Pretty incredible, huh? The other thing to recognize about this attachment to result is that you want to do manifesting in an acknowledgement and gratitude for what you have right now. And if you've studied spiritual material or law of attraction material before, I'm sure you've heard about this. You know, you don't want to put things into the future or the past, you want to put it in the now. And you want to say your affirmations and mantras and do your visualizations and other manifesting techniques in gratitude and acknowledgement for what is already there. And so, if you wish to have the experience of being a millionaire, you might say affirmations that say, I am a millionaire now. Or even better, thank you, universe, for making me a millionaire. And so when we talk about how we visualize, this is a very important and subtle point. There is a difference between fantasy and daydreaming and acknowledgement and gratitude. If you're visualizing and manifesting in a way that's like fantasy and daydreaming, if you're just imagining how great it would be to have something, there's a part of you that knows that it's not real. And you're telling the universe that it would be great to have this. And therefore, you are acknowledging and empowering the condition of not having it. Why? Because if you already had it, you wouldn't be saying, hey, universe, it would be wonderful to have it. You'd be saying, thank you, universe, for sending me this. So let's talk about a concrete example. Let's say you'd like to have $1 million. If you sit around and fantasize and daydream about how wonderful and great it would be to have that money, that will more likely than not create the condition of not having it. Why? Because again, if you're thinking, hey, universe, it would be great to have $1 million, the universe acts like a big yes machine and goes, there you go, no problem, here's your experience of having it be great if you would have $1 million. On the other hand, if you're manifesting properly, you're going to think and say things like, thank you, universe, for sending me this $1 million. You're going to remember it as if it was something you ate for lunch yesterday. And so when you're visualizing, don't fantasize, don't daydream. Be in acknowledgement and gratitude for what's already happened. Imagine it like it's something you had for lunch yesterday. Imagine it that it's a memory you're reflecting on of something that's already happened. That energy is far more powerful, because when you tell the universe that you are in gratitude for something that's already happened, even though you consciously in your mind know it hasn't, you are creating the experience of having had it happen and drawing it to you. And so again, if you have not heard of this concept before, this might be a little confusing because this is a subtle point. Again, visualization is great, and I do encourage people to write down their goals and imagine what they would do once they've achieved them. But it's even more powerful and takes it to an even deeper level if you can do that from a place of gratitude and acknowledgement instead of fantasy and daydreaming. And of course, our spiritual teachers have been telling us this for centuries. You may have heard before the saying, even before you ask, it has been given. That's exactly what's being talked about here. Another way to think about manifesting in terms of attachment to result is that wanting and desiring push things away from you because you're creating that condition of wanting and desiring and creating the attachment to result, all the fear and anger of what's going to happen if you don't get it. Instead, you want to be completely surrendered to whatever the universe may bring you, and then simply make a choice without attachment. And so if you've been involved in any religions or spiritual movements or 12-step programs where they talk about the importance of surrender, this is exactly what they're talking about. You have to surrender the result to the universe. We cannot control exactly what's going to happen in our lives. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how many millions of dollars you make, no matter how many students you have or acolytes or how many people you've enlightened or how many books you've read, or no matter what, you can't always control what happens in life. And so if you're attached to things being a certain way, it's only going to make you miserable when they don't work out that way. Instead, we need to surrender this to the higher power. Now, of course, it's up to you to decide what this is. Some people think of this as being a god. Others think of this higher power as simply being the universe, or the laws of the universe, or spirit or source. Whatever it may be, you need to surrender the result over to the universe and be totally okay with whatever shows up, and then simply make a choice. Because when you make a choice from that point of non-attachment, when you're in a space where no matter what happens, you're going to be okay, and you're going to make the most of it and you're going to be happy, that is incredibly powerful and makes you far more effective in bringing to you that which you desire, simply by choosing with non-attachment. Now, of course, it's a little bit ironic that the more you want something, the less likely you are to get it. But that's just the way the universe operates. And I've often joked with a lot of my clients and students that someday I'm going to make my own universe and things are going to be a little bit different. But you know what? For right now, we're stuck in the universe we're in. And so we're going to make the most of it. We're going to realize that the way we manifest powerfully is to release our attachment to result and simply be in the moment, in the present, and make a choice. A different way of thinking about this, which I really like, is that happiness, which, you know what, is the reason most of us want the wealth and success and prosperity in the first place, right, is to be happy, that happiness is not about getting what you want in life. Instead, it's about wanting what you get. And that's such an important and powerful concept, I'll repeat that. Happiness is not about getting what you want in life. It's about wanting what you get. Because you know what? If you're a good manifester and if you're lucky, you will be able to get what you want a lot of the time. But sometimes it'll make you happy and sometimes it won't. Because sometimes you'll think you want something and then it shows up in your life and then you decide you don't. I'm sure we've all had experiences like that, where we wanted to have a certain job or live in a certain city or go to a certain school or date a certain person. And then we got that experience and we ended up not liking it. And so a lot of the time we don't even want what we think we want. It won't make us happy. Other times we get what we want and the ego's temporarily gratified and then immediately turns around and wants something else. Because that's what egos do. They desire, they want. They're very attached to form and presentation. And it's never possible to satiate that ego desire. It's never possible to make yourself totally happy by getting what you want. We're going to talk about this a little more in the other section of the program on the Be Do Have cycle, because that's exactly what we're talking about here. You can't have something to let you be something. You know, instead, you simply have to be it. On the other hand, if you want what you get, that's the secret to having a truly happy life. If you can be in any situation and make the most of it, to think positively about it, to find the upside, to surrender the negative thoughts and fears and worries to the universe or creator or however you think of a higher power, you will be much more happy and, ironically, a much more powerful manifester and able to draw in and experience that which you choose. And so the more you can be totally okay with your life exactly the way it is, the more powerful you become in changing that life and making things different. So the next thing I want to mention is the leap of faith. The leap of faith is an important part of this attachment to result. You may have heard that term before. What I understand as being the leap of faith is it's the gap in time between when you send a request to the universe, when you make a choice, and when it actually shows up in manifesting your life. And so let's say that you want to have $1 million. And so you do your affirmations and mantras, and you do your subconscious reprogramming, and you get into that state of non-attachment, and you say, universe, I choose having $1 million now. By the way, there is a guided manifestation included with this program, so you can do this from a theta brainwave, which will make it far more powerful. When you do that, at that moment, when you say, universe, thank you for sending me this $1 million, I choose this experience, and you start remembering it like it happened yesterday, of course, unless you're an ascended master who can walk through walls, you probably won't instantly see a change in your bank account. That process needs to take place through physical mechanisms. You need to get a job. You need to start a company. At the very least, you have to go buy a lottery ticket, right? In order to give the universe an avenue or a channel to bring that money to you. But the leap of faith is that gap in time between you make a choice, between when you do a manifestation or a visualization, and when it actually shows up in your life. Now, if you have released your attachment to result, if you are totally okay with exactly the way your life is at each moment, it will be very easy to navigate the leap of faith. Whether it takes an hour or a day or a week or a year or 10 years or more, you will have a knowingness that that money is coming to you, and you will live in joy and gratitude, and it will be very easy for you to stay in that place of clear intent without attachment to result. And Oddly enough, when you can do that, you will gravitate and magnetize that experience to you, and the law of attraction will bring you that $1 million relatively quickly. On the other hand, if you have trouble with a leap of faith, you can easily cancel your manifestations and keep yourself stuck. And so let's say you go to a positive thinking seminar and you do a visualization and you do a manifestation to have $1 million. And then you go home and you check your bank account and there's no more money in there. And you go, well, crap, it didn't work. And then you check your bank account 2 days later and there's still not $1 million. You go, well, crap, it still didn't work. And then you get discouraged and then you get afraid that maybe it never worked. And then you get really angry that maybe you wasted your money on this seminar and the techniques are a sham. Well, guess what's happening there? Your attachment to result is activating. All that fear and anger and worry is showing up and shutting you down. And so you are failing at that leap of faith. You're falling. And what will happen is when you make a choice, you then enter into that leap of faith. If you're able to hold that choice, hold that clear intent, if you have a clear subconscious, if your blocks are gone, and you don't have attachment to result, you will be able to hold that choice and hold your faith through the leap. And what you ask for, what you request and choose will show up in your life, sometimes so quickly and so powerfully, it will amaze you. On the other hand, if you're very attached to the result, if you think things have to be a certain way, you're going to activate a lot of fear and anger, and you're going to lose that faith, and you're going to lose that clear intent, and you will instead manifest that which you're afraid of. And so if you go to a healing seminar thinking, oh my God, I have to learn this technique, and I have to get rid of this certain pain in my body within 3 weeks, or it didn't work, or my life is over. Well, guess what? That's attachment to result in spades, because you think you have to have things being a certain way on a certain timetable. That's going to generate all sorts of anger and fear. It's going to be very difficult for you to navigate the leap of faith, and more likely than not, you're going to fail because of that. That wanting and needing to get a certain result on a certain timetable directly interferes with your ability to communicate with the divine and manifest to you that result through the law of attraction. On the other hand, if you go to a healing seminar and you say, you know what, it would be great to heal this pain, but it's okay if it doesn't, and I'm still going to love and enjoy and cherish my life in every moment, no matter what happens, you will be far more likely to get a good result. You will be far more likely to heal very quickly. And the same thing goes for manifesting money or success. The same thing goes for finding love. If you can release that attachment to result, if you can hold yourself strong through the leap of faith, you will be able to manifest. You will be able to pull things in and experience the life of your dreams. So, you probably have heard before a lot of different terms about this sort of thing. And it's interesting that many of these terms are synonyms. I'm going to give you a list right now. We've talked about releasing attachment to result. Other words that describe this very same thing are presence, being in the now, being in your body or getting out of your head, living in the moment, surrendering, and being in the flow of life. It was really a powerful epiphany for me when I realized that all these things are exactly the same. Because when you are living in the moment, you are not attached to a particular result. You are there being present, having that experience in the time you're having it, where you're having it, with the people you're having it. You're not concerned and worried and trying to manipulate and control the events about the future or the past. You are present. You have a strong presence. You are surrendered. You are in your body. You have dropped in. Conversely, if the opposite happens, you can get into your head. When you get into your head and you start thinking all the time, it takes you out of the present moment. It takes you generally into the past and into the future. When you're in your head, when you're thinking all the time, you're always thinking about either the things that happened that were bad about the past, your regrets and the grudges you hold and how you might do things differently and all the disappointment you feel from perceived failures, or you're in the future, worried about what's going to come, trying to control and manipulate events and circumstances to force things to go the way you want them to. All of this creates attachment to result. You think things need to be a certain way. And so you are not surrendered. You're in ego. You are trying to manipulate and force the universe to be a certain way because you're afraid of what happens if you don't. That will shut down your manifesting ability more powerfully than anything else. Even if you have a clear subconscious, it will make it very difficult for the universe to bring you what you want if you're in your head, if you're out of the now, if you're not surrendered, if you're an ego. Now again, all three aspects of this equation of manifesting are important. But if you can get all three, you can manifest incredible things very quickly in your life. And so because this was such a powerful thing for me to learn, I'm going to go through that again. One of the most important things to realize is when you release attachment to result, it brings you into the now. It increases your presence. It gets you surrendered to a higher power. It gets you into the flow of life. It gets you to drop into your body and be in the moment. And this makes you an incredibly powerful manifester. Amazing things will happen if you can achieve this. On the other hand, if you get into your head, if you get into your ego, if you get addicted to control, if you start thinking about the past, all your regrets and worries and disappointments, and start thinking about the future and worry about what might happen or what might not happen, and thinking you have to control circumstances, that will shut you down very powerfully. And you may be very frustrated in your inability to create things in your life. And for people who have learned the standard law of attraction stuff, they've learned how to do affirmations and mantras and write down their goals. The most common reason why they won't be able to manifest the life of their dreams is that they have subconscious blocks. But even beyond that, even those who have a clear intent and have done a lot of subconscious clearing, if you're still frustrated in your ability to manifest, this is what is most likely the problem. You're too in your head. You're not living in the now. You're not in the moment. You're attached to result. If you can get into the now, if you can surrender attachment to result and get into the flow of life, you will be amazed at the incredible things that will happen. Now, why does it happen? Why is it that we get into our heads? Why is it we get attached to result? Why is it we get into the future and the past rather than the now? Why is it we get addicted to control and having the ego take over and our minds are full of all these thoughts? Well, there's a couple reasons for this. One of the most common is that we are simply afraid of feeling. That things happen to us, oftentimes in childhood, that were very painful and very difficult to process. And so, the way we learned to cope with it was to get out of the moment. We got into our head, we jumped into the future, we jumped into the past. And this felt like love to us because it helped us to cope with the pain in the moment. Psychologists have a term called future pacing, which is the same kind of concept. And so if a very painful or awful thing happened to you, it can kind of throw you into your head, and you're spending the whole rest of your life trying to escape into fantasy, trying to avoid it. And so if you do emotional clearing, things like theta healing, that can be very powerful to release those traumas, to make it safe to feel once again, to get back into your body, to get into the flow of life. Along with this goes addictive behaviors. Very commonly, when we're afraid of feeling things fully, we will engage in addictions because they put up a mask that protect us from having to feel things. And there's many different addictions that will show up in our lives that will interfere with our ability to get into the present, into the now, and manifest powerfully. Overeating is one of the most common because food is relatively cheap and easily available and socially acceptable, especially eating sugary, starchy food. Alcohol and other forms of both recreational and pharmaceutical drugs are also common forms of addiction. Negative thinking is an addiction. Sex and love can be an addiction. In fact, I've had some clients and students who are addicted to the self-improvement process. They're always thinking there's something wrong with them that has to be changed. Well, when you have any of these addictions, they're all protecting you from being in the moment. They are protecting you from feeling exactly what's happening in your life, being in your body, being surrendered right now. And so watch out for that. Again, emotional clearing and theta healing can be very powerful for this, but of course they're not the only way. And so if you are an addictive kind of person, be aware of that will shut down your manifesting ability. Why? Because it takes you out of the moment. It puts you into your head. The second common reason why we get into our head and into control is because society has trained us and with all these false beliefs about the universe. Let me tell you that the way the universe works is exactly the opposite of how we think it works. It's amazing this is true. with all our modern technology. It's the 21st century. We have the internet. We have all these incredible things that we can do on planet Earth. But yet we still, for the most part, don't have a clue about how the universe really works. This is what I mean. For the most part, society trains us that in order to achieve a particular result, we have to engage in a sequence of actions, a process that will yield that result. And therefore, if you want to have a certain result, you have to engage in the process and force it to go a certain way to get there. Let's take a concrete example. Let's say you want to make $1 million. And so society would tell you that probably the best way for you to make $1 million is to start a company. Of course, there's other ways you could do it. You could do it with a job. You could do it with investments. You could even do it with buying a lottery ticket. But I would say that for most people in most circumstances, starting a company is going to be the most likely route to yield that kind of success. And so you think, okay, the way that I make $1 million is by going and starting a company and hiring employees and creating products or services and then advertising them and then growing things and then keeping my profits up high enough so that I can take them home and put them in the bank so that at some point in the future, whether it be 6 months, a year, 10 years, 20 years, I'll either have enough profits or we'll be able to sell the company and get my $1 million. Now, I'm not going to say that's completely wrong, because that is the process through which that money can manifest for you. But the result which we want, namely having $1 million, is not created directly by starting that company and making it successful. That seems a little weird, but it's not. What is the prime source, the original causation of you having that $1 million is not the company, but rather it's your consciousness. It is a choice you make when you interface with the universe, and your consciousness, which you might also think of as your soul of your higher self, if you're of a spiritual or religious bent, your consciousness makes a choice and says, I choose to have $1 million. Then you need to take action. One of the actions you might take is to go and start a company. If you have made that proper soul choice, if your consciousness has chosen the experience of having $1 million, you will then start a company. And growing that company and making it successful is the mechanism or vehicle through which the money will come to you in the material world. But note, this is an important but subtle point. It is not the original cause. Your company is not the cause of your prosperity. Your education is not the cause of your prosperity. Your hard work is not the cause of your prosperity. Your knowledge or talent is not the cause of your prosperity. However, those are the vehicles through which it will flow to you. The cause of it, the original thing that puts this whole process in motion, is a choice by your consciousness. And so, if you do not have that proper choice and consciousness, you can get very hung up trying to manipulate and control the circumstances and mechanisms through which prosperity flows in order to try to force a result. In this case, if you did not make a soul choice, if your consciousness did not choose to have success and lots of money, if it did not choose to have $1 million, then no matter what you did with that company, you would not succeed. No matter how hard you worked, no matter how brilliant your ideas, no matter what kind of support or exposure you got, the universe would not work with you, and no matter what you did, you would not be able to have that money. Or you might be able to have it for a short time and you would lose it. Why? Because the ego, the part of us that controls and manipulates circumstances and events in the external world, cannot force a certain result. It can only think it can. And so society trains us that we have to go and manipulate external realities. We have to make a company and sell products and force things to happen in a certain way to get that result. And again, that is not how it works. It works just the opposite. The process of forming the company to make the money, that's how we think it works. What really happens is just the opposite. The soul makes a choice, and in that moment, that $1 million is guaranteed to us. We then go and take action in the world, and then through circumstances and means which may be beyond our ability to understand in that moment, the money will flow to us. And so the universe is much smarter than us and much more powerful than us. And if we haven't made that proper soul choice, things won't work out for us. Now, at the same time, we do need to take action. If you're an ascended master who can walk through walls, you probably can sit around the couch in your boxers and manifest and have things just show up in your life. But if you're like most people, you need to go and take action. But you have to do so without attachment to result. If you think that growing your company has to be a certain way, that you have to achieve certain milestones by certain deadlines, that creates great attachment to result, and it will shut down your ability to create success. Instead, you go and you live fully in the moment. You go at each step of growing and building that company, and you are fully engaged in the moment and completely open to outcome without attachment to result. If you can do that, you're kind of surrendering control to the universe. You're doing your part. You're making your choice. You're going into action. But you're not trying to overly control and manipulate the events and circumstances of the growth of that company. You're leaving it open to the universe. You're staying present, focused in the now, surrendered, releasing attachment to result, dropping in. If you can do that, then things will flow, they will turn, there will be twists and turns that will amaze and surprise you, and wonderful things will happen. Let me give you a little metaphor which I think explains this well. Let's say that you want to have a pizza delivered to your home. Now, we all know that the way you do that is you call the local pizza place and you place an order, and then a guy comes in a car and knocks on your door and gives you the pizza. Now, what is the original causation? What is the true cause of you getting that pizza? Well, it's the phone call, right? But what is the mechanism by which the pizza is delivered to your home? Well, it's a guy in a car who drives it to you. If we confuse those two, you're going to have a very hard time getting the pizza. If you mistakenly assume that the cause, the original reason why the pizza comes to your home is because a guy in a car drives it to you, then instead of calling the pizza place when you're hungry, you're probably going to go out into your neighborhood and walk or drive around until you see a guy in a pizza delivery car. And then you're going to try to flag him down and get his attention, and then bribe him or threaten him or otherwise try to cajole him into giving you the pizza. Now that seems ridiculous, right? That probably won't work. Because we both know that the original cause, the way you really get that pizza delivered, is to call the pizza place. But you know what? The way we are trained to live our lives and to manifest is exactly like trying to run around flagging down a pizza delivery guy when you're hungry. Because that's trying to control the circumstances through which it manifests rather than addressing the original cause. And so with everything in our lives, the original cause is our consciousness. It is our interaction with the divine, according to our subconscious belief systems. And so if we are able to make that proper choice, if we have a clear intention, a clear subconscious, and released attachment to result, our consciousness will choose that experience. And then the universe will bring it to us through whatever means it makes most sense to let it manifest. Society again trains us just the opposite. Society tells us that we have to manipulate and influence and control the means through which prosperity and good things show up in our lives to make it happen. That's not true. Trying to do that will only make you miserable and shut down your ability to manifest. Pretty amazing, huh? So I want to do a quick review of this section. There's a lot of material here that we've just presented. And so if you're new to some of this, don't be surprised if it's very confusing. Because I am not aware of any other material on manifesting the law of attraction that goes into this level of depth and subtlety, but it's important and it's very, very powerful. And so to quickly review, the equation of manifesting has three parts. Part number one is clear intent. Part number two is proper subconscious programming. Part number three is releasing attachment to result. Clear intent is when we tell the universe exactly what we want, when we make it very clear that this is what I choose. $1 million, a successful company, a loving relationship, perfect health. Subconscious programming is our signals sent to the universe by our subconscious that we work through the law of attraction. If we make a choice and have a clear intent that is in opposition to our subconscious programming, it won't work. It will shut us down and it will get frustrated. And that's exactly what happens when most people do typical law of attraction stuff. They make their vision boards, say their mantras, and then it doesn't work and they get frustrated. Why? Because they're missing the proper subconscious programming. Part number three is releasing attachment to result, because the more okay you are with your life exactly as it is now, the more powerfully you'll be able to create and manifest the changes you'd like. And so some of the synonyms we hear are being in the moment, being present, being surrendered, being in the flow, getting out of your head. All these mean exactly the same thing. And if you're able to nail these three pieces to the equation of manifesting, you will be amazed at what's going to happen in your life. Now, if you're paying close attention, you'll realize that there's definitely some crossover here. That if you don't have good subconscious programming, it'll be very hard to have a clear intention. And there's definitely a lot of interplay between the subconscious programming and the attachment to result. If you have all sorts of belief systems and programs in your subconscious that tell you that you have to be attached to result, or manipulate and control circumstances to be a certain way, or that it's not safe to fully feel things or be in the flow of life, you're going to have a really hard time with it. And so they all do work together. But I'm confident that if you can start to do this subconscious clearing in this program and applying these principles in addition to the law of attraction stuff that you've learned in other places, you will see incredible things happen in your life.